I'm going to speak this morning on the anointing. A lot of people get the anointing kind of tangled up, you know, but the anointing is the anointing of the Word. God doesn't anoint the flesh. He anoints the Word that He has on the inside of us, the Word that we have, and that anointing, and that's what the Lord anoints. And without the anointing, there's nothing going to go on. And I don't believe I've ever felt any greater anointing than I felt here last night. And it was got on just about everybody in here. And the anointing that, you know, God, when He pours out the anointing, why, He pours it out on everyone that will even accept any part of it. And some get some things out of it, and some get something else out of it. I've seen when a good anointed service was going on, one person getting saved, another getting the Holy Ghost, one getting healed over there, some of them shouting back there, and some of them doing this, and some doing that, and it looks like confusion. But it's not confusion, it's God's way of anointing the whole crowd, and it's being poured out upon them, and they're receiving something that otherwise they may never receive. So we have to receive this anointing that He's talking about. And we're going to talk about the anointing here, and I'd like to turn our Bibles to Psalms 133. There's an order of the anointing too. So let's look at this. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. It says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the unity. What brings this unity about? It's not me, it's not you, it's the Spirit of God, and it's the anointing that brings this about. And so it said, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So that means that we have to keep the anointing, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what we think, regardless of our opinion of God and different things like that, we have to have the anointing. The anointing is essential. That anointing is of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now the anointing heals everyone that's oppressed. Who did He anoint? He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't anoint our fleshly man. He didn't anoint me, or He didn't anoint, but it's good and pleasant to be together. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it comes by the precious ointment, the anointing that went on Aaron's head, that went down upon the beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. That covered the whole person. How many knows that?
Yeah.
You know, where two or three agree, what happens? Just two or three people in agreement, God can begin to work things that we never dreamed He could work. When two or three people come together in that unity and in that agreement and in that faith that He was talking about, and when they come together, then God begins to move upon the scene and things begin to take place. I'm sure that everyone here this morning has got loved ones that you would like to see saved. I'm sure that everyone here this morning has got loved ones that you'd like to see healed. Maybe some here this morning that needs healed yourselves. And not always is the healing something that hurts or something like that. Not always a sickness. Sometimes we need a healing of a broken heart.
Amen.
How many knows that everyone here, somewhere down the line, we have had a broken heart? Huh? Preachers get broken hearts. Congregations get broken hearts. Well, what would solve that? The anointing oil. I can't solve it. You can't solve it. Nobody else can solve it. But God can with that anointing. The yoke is destroyed. It says in Isaiah 10:27, said the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. You know, Satan likes to put a yoke upon people and something that will bring you down and something that will bring the church down and something that'll do this and that. But I want to tell you one thing, that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And it's good and pleasant when brethren come together and dwell together in unity. Behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head. Where did it start at? Upon the head of Aaron, the priest. And it ran down upon his head and his beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garment, and it turned out to be something that was good and pleasant. Now, Isaiah 10:27 said, the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. In Isaiah chapter 11, I want to get into that in there just a minute. Isaiah chapter 11, and let's read a little bit about it. Isaiah chapter 11, take the first verse or two here. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. How many knows who Jesse is? That was David's father. And that was the lineage down to Christ. And that rod that came out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. How many knows what that is? I'm not preaching to you somebody, I'm preaching to you Christ this morning. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And glory and virtue comes through Christ Jesus. And here's what he's saying here, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now that's Christ. Acts 10:38 again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now Jesus went about doing what? Good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Now he says here, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Somebody said that fellow was really anointed. No, it was Jesus in him if he got anointed. God anoints Jesus of Nazareth. What does he anoint him with? The Holy Ghost and what? And power. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God doesn't anoint the fleshly man. He doesn't anoint the carnal man. He anoints the Jesus that's in us. And that's faith. You know, that Jesus in us is the Word, and he was the Word made flesh. And how do we get faith? Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we build up our faith, and we build this by the Word of God, because it takes Christ on the inside of us, because without him we can do nothing, and without him we are nothing.
Amen.
Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. What is that? That's faith. Faith in who? Christ. The rod. The branch that grows out of the root. And it says, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. These things that we got, listen, these things that happens here. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who is him? It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Spirit of wisdom. If there's any wisdom, he gave it to us.
Amen.
And if there's any understanding, he gave that to us. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You know, if there ever was a time that we need to fear God and keep his commandments, it's now. Because, you know, our whole nation is confused. Just about everybody that I see somewhere down the line, they've got a confusion. Our nation is confused. Our churches are confused. Our people are confused. But I want you to know that Jesus is not confused. He is the way. He is the truth. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. I want to tell you one thing here this morning, that our destination is Father's house. The prodigal son was in the hog pen and he had a virtuous thought. I got on that the other night. That virtuous thought, I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be a son. I'll tell you, he was coming home right. And when he got home, he got everything that he had before because his mind changed. He was converted. What he preached, that being converted. Repent ye therefore and be converted that the sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And what's going to happen then? And he shall send Jesus. That's what we need in the church is Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what we need in our life and in our heart is Jesus. If Christ be for us, again, who could be against us? It has to be the devil somewhere down the road. But here it says here, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And then verse 3, he said, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity of the meek of the earth. With righteousness shall he judge. I want to turn our Bibles right now to Isaiah chapter 61. And this is all speaking of Christ. Not speaking of anything, but you know we can praise him for what he's done. Isaiah chapter 61. Let's turn there right quick. And he's talking again about the anointing. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah's writing this down. And he's speaking of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the broken hearted. The broken heart. He sent me to bind up the broken hearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. So here's what he said here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the anointing. What now? God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38. Let's stay right with that. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And what did Jesus do? Once we get that, we'll start going around doing good. And he went about doing good and healing what? All that were oppressed of the devil. I'll tell you what, everywhere you go and every community you go today, there's people that's oppressed of the devil. Our government's oppressed. Our nation is oppressed. People are oppressed. And everything seems to be in confusion. Congress is in confusion. Our nation is confusion. Churches are in confusion. And they think they can do something like rock music or something like that, and that'll straighten it out. It's going to take the anointing, and it's going to take the anointing from on high of Christ Jesus that's going to come into the church, in our lives, and into our home, and straighten that individually. We need to take ourselves individually and get our mind straightened out and get the confusion out of there.
Amen.
Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Isaiah is saying here, and it's representing Christ, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Good tidings can go out to the meek. He that sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. The opening of prison to them that... How many people could you count if you just start counting people that you know that's bound? That's, you know, that's brokenhearted. You know that needs the anointing. You know that needs the power. You know that needs a healing. See, he's going to heal the sick. He's going to bind up the broken heart. He's going to loose them that are in prison. He's going to set the captive free. That's what he's going to do. Amen. The next verse says here, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort all that mourn. All that mourn. And here is another one here, verse 3, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Listen to that again. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion. Did you ever, you know, Bobby put a whole bunch in front of you there this morning, but did you ever moan and groan all night? Huh? I'm talking about getting down, moan and groan and cry out all night long. I'll guarantee you every preacher has, huh? I'll guarantee you that it nearly every one of them has, at least, because that goes along with it, the mourning and the groaning. And listen to what he said, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. That's a pretty good trade, isn't it? That we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Not we be glorified, but he has called us, as we've got into the other night, he has called us to glory and virtue. That virtue means the power of the thing. And this woman that with the issue of blood that he was talking about a while ago, what we talked about the other night, she had an issue of blood, and she said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. Well, she crept through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus turned immediately and said, who touched me? Now, there was a crowd of people, and they looked at him and said, there's people that's thronging you from all around, and you say, who touched me? He said, I felt the virtue go out. In other words, he said, something went out of me, the power went out of me, the healing went out of me, and this woman was healed, and he turned, and he said, who touched me? She knelt down there, and he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith. See, the anointing was upon him. The virtue was there. And the touching there made her whole. Somebody said, well, everybody else was touched. That's not the point. The point is that she reached out and pressed her way through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. You know what? Every one of us need to get in this thing right now, that we're going to press through to Jesus. We're going to press through to God. Whatever we're going to do, we're going to expect the anointing, and the anointing's going to come, and the oil's going to be poured out. The mourning is going to stop, and we're going to rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 said, well, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? All the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand, having our loins girt about with the truth. And he tells us all these things that we're supposed to be dressed in that armor.
Amen.
The anointing to appoint to thee. And it says in verse 4, they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. These people are going to be repaired, and restore. You know, the Bible speaks of repairing the breach. Then it speaks of then restoring the past. Repair the breach, restore the past. Now, restoration is different than repairing. How would you restore the past? How does the past get there? How does the path get started in out here in the field? Somebody walked there. Somebody else come along and followed that path. And pretty soon they've got a restored path. You know what? And the path gets brighter as more people begin to walk in. And as our eyes, you know, over in Revelation said, anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou might be able to see. See, we need to anoint our eyes with eyesight that we might be able to see. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that he may be glorified. The garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. Can we praise God? Well, I could if it wasn't for this and it wasn't for that. Well, we can because the Lord has been good to us. I guarantee you everybody here this morning can say the Lord's been good to us.
Amen.
He's been good to us. They'll build the old waste place. And we're called to glory and virtue. They shall raise up former desolations and they shall repair waste cities. That's what we're talking about here. But it all comes right back to Acts 10:38. How God the Father, how he anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Ghost. And then what did he do? He went about doing what? There's one thing about it. I can't Brother Fowler sings a song, I can't say anything bad about Jesus. He's been too good to me. I know I'll guarantee you when we talk about him, we can say some good things about him. He's done nothing but good to all of us. He's made a way, as Peter said. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come, and he shall send Jesus. Well, that's who we're looking for. He sent Jesus. We need to pray that Jesus comes into every service, that Jesus comes into our home, that Jesus comes into our job. One time I was preaching in St. Louis, Missouri, and there was a lady sitting there, and she looked so sad and everything. And after the service, she came to me, said, I was preaching along this line, and she said, you know, Brother Buckner, said, it's just really hard for me to live on my job. Said, it's just, the people are, they're just aggravating, and said, I just can't hardly make it on the job. And I said, well, and it just came to me quickly, you know, we're two should agree on anything. I said, well, won't you get you a prayer meeting? Is there anybody else on that job? Is there anybody there that's a Christian? She said, yes. So I said, why don't you get them for a prayer partner, and you begin to believe, and you begin to pray for those folks that's upsetting you. Said the boss is even upset. It's everything that's confused. Just bad job, you know. I went to back there in 6 months and held another meeting, and I noticed that she looked really, she literally had joy. And after the service, she said, guess what? I've done exactly what you asked us to do. And we started praying for people. Said the boss, he's got really got in a good humor, and he's doing fine. And all the people around there's begin to respect us as Christians, and said, everything's just working out fine. I just love my job now. I'll tell you, you can turn a job around. You can turn a household around. You can turn people around. Not you do it, but the power of God can do it. When he sends Jesus into something, he can straighten it out. Maybe I can't fix it. You can't fix it. But God can. He sent Jesus. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, there's a lot of folks that needs to be healed of oppression. You know, that way they won't have to take pills. For the nerves, they'll have joy.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. Ephesians said, find it, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand, stand. Just take a stand, and they shall build the old waste. Then that's another thing. Repair the waste cities. Amen. I'm reminded of how God sent Peter, the anointed man, to preach to the house of Cornelius in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Peter was upon the housetop of Simon the tenor, far away from the house of Cornelius. When Cornelius had the vision of the Lord coming and telling him, send men to Joppa and get Peter, and he'll come and he'll preach you what you need to hear. Now, they were evidently saved, and they evidently had their lives cleaned up, but now they needed the Holy Ghost and they needed Jesus. Peter's on the housetop. He's a Jewish man. He would never have anything to do with pigs and hogs. But a sheep came down. And it began to convince him. It began to say, rise and eat. And he said, not so. Finally, he was convinced to get off the housetop there and to go with these men. He said, the Lord had spoke to him and said, there's three men that's coming after you. You get down off this housetop and you go with them. How many believe that? Well, that was the anointing of God. That was the anointing. Now, he had his doctrines, but he had to get out of his doctrine and go with these three men. And you're going to go to the house of Cornelius. Well, I've never preached to a Gentile. I've never been to church with a Gentile. You're going to be today, Peter. You're going to follow these three men. You've got to do this. Get down off this housetop. So he got down and he went with them to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius had been praying. And while he was praying, he'd had this vision. And when Peter came in, they began to honor him, and they fell down before him. He said, get up, I'm just a man. But pretty soon God began to have him to preach the gospel, and he began to preach to them. These people that were saved, these people that needed the Holy Ghost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The house of Cornelius. There you go again, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the anointing fell. And the house, the people were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they begin to speak with the other tongues.
Yes.
You know, somebody said, I get the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. I beg your pardon. You might get it on you, not that. But there's a difference in getting the Holy Ghost on you and being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
What I'm talking about is being therefore filled with the Holy Ghost. What a terrible thing it is to be empty. The five foolish virgins, their lamps were empty. The prodigal son was in the, he was empty. He got rid of everything that mounted anything that he took from home, his living, and he was now empty. And what a pitiful thing it is when we're empty. Somebody said, I ain't doing anything wrong. That's not the point. Are you full or are you empty? We need to be full of the Word of God, and God will anoint with the Holy Ghost the Word of God. And if we're full of that Word of God, which is the vessel, the lamp, then that oil is in that lamp, and it will help. Light when Jesus comes.
Amen.
Empty. You know, empty is a bad thing. You know, somebody said, well, I haven't done this wrong, I haven't done that wrong, I haven't done something else wrong, I haven't done this wrong. But are we empty? Are you full? Are we actually full of the Holy Ghost? They were empty.
Yes,
and you know, I was reading there, and I do want to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. There's something go along with what Brother Bobby talked this morning, is the sin of neglect. I want to talk to you. It's simple here this morning. And look what it says. Hebrews chapter 1, and reading down about three verses here. Therefore we are to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now I want to look here, just examine this just a little bit. Therefore we are to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest in any time we should let them slip. We're talking about the sin of neglect. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, how can we neglect? Can we neglect to pray? Huh? Can we neglect to go to church? Huh? You know, a lot of folks, they've got where they operate in neglect. Well, I don't feel like going now. Well, go to church, you'll feel better. You'll feel better. The sin of neglect. You can neglect to go to church. You can neglect to pray. You can neglect to study. Yeah, the Bible does say, study to show yourself approved, doesn't it? A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are we neglecting that? There's a sin that neglected causes us to be empty. We neglect the five foolish virgins neglected to take the oil. The others had some oil, enough to barely make it through. But the others neglected it. And they didn't get to go in because of neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? Neglect to pray. Neglect to go to church. Neglect to study. The Bible tells us, study to show yourself approved.
Yes, amen.
A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we can neglect that. We can neglect us so many things. And I'll not get into that. I notice people don't neglect to go to work. Come time to work, you know why? Because that's where we make our living. But these things that we're talking about, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, sometimes our neglect is because of oppression.
Yes.
We get oppressed. And sometimes it's things that we don't realize that we're getting oppressed. This is our call, but Peter said, we're called to glory in virtue, 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's what this is all about. The message is Jesus Christ.